Today's scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. In the days to come, the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The words of God for the people of the world.
Oh, poor Isaiah. He told people through four kings, hold on. The Messiah is coming through four despicable leadership. Okay, that's enough of that one. Anyway, he had a rough deal. I think it was in class one time, and we were talking about different gifts and everything, and I have a tendency to kind of maybe tell it like it is a little bit much. I rein it in for you all because I'm a pastor of a church now. You know, you got to do that a little bit. But God, I have to apologize to God on many occasions for the things that jump through my brain, and I'm grateful they don't jump out my mouth. Because in my class one time, they thought I was probably prophetic, that I might be a prophet. And I said, what? And they said, yes, but remember what happened to all the prophets. For those of you who don't know, most of them got killed. Probably by the people they were talking to. I hope not on a Sunday morning. Well, not Sabbath morning. But anyway, that's just kind of fun. Because, you know, I think about Isaiah. And when this lectionary scripture came up, I went, oh, man. Well, now I could do the gospel. I always love doing the gospel. Who loves the gospel? The good news of Jesus Christ, right? Go on, right, hands wave, milky care. I like it. And I thought, Marsh, you got to give Isaiah some props because the dude hung in there, right? Through all the craziness in the world, he keeps saying, people, hang on. Hang on to who you are. And I admire that a little bit and a lot and a whole bunch, because the world that he was living in was pretty chaotic. The poor were not being well cared for. People were being thrown into jails and places without, because they didn't know what the words due process meant, okay, right? It was just whoever had the most power could do what they wanted. And so here's Isaiah talking to these kings and saying, you know, should I say he said God's going to get you for that? Maybe he said that. But Isaiah was a prophet who believed in the power of Almighty God. And he believed that God had promised a Messiah. You see, that's what we're waiting for, right? Except, you know what's so weird for us? We already know the Messiah came. Somebody go, yay! Messiah already came. And so sometimes as a pastor, you kind of go, how can I do something new? Well, sugars, no. The good is the good is the good is the good. The Messiah was promised. The Messiah has come. The Messiah lives with us here and now today. Think about that for a minute. As we hustle and bustle around waiting for everything, like Christmas is coming, but birth of the baby Jesus, well, the birth of the baby Jesus already come. Woo! What a damper she is today. Let her get a little sick for the week and she becomes crabby. but gives you time to think when you're kind of laying there trying to figure out, what did I do wrong? What did I eat wrong? What? Who knows? But you think a lot of things. So here's a really cool thought for you. That if Isaiah really believes that, and he's holding on for the Messiah, what does the Messiah coming mean? Does it mean it's all going to be like perfect and there will be no more sadness, no more war, no more people being mean to each other? Well, apparently not, because the Messiah has come already. Now, here's something else the Messiah, that Isaiah does that I love a lot, and I want us to hold on to, because here's what can happen to us if we're not real careful. We forget the stories. He hung on to the stories of those who came before him and shared with him. This is why I loved having four generations of Brackett this morning. I thought, if they tell me no, I'll go, okay. But through this holiday week, I've been in conversation, and especially with my Aunt Betty passing, I've been thinking about families and traditions. And did anybody have a tradition that they did this last holiday-ish? Did you have a tradition that has been carried on for more than two generations? Now think about it for a minute, because this is a Q&A. Gary McClure told me to be quiet. He didn't say I couldn't ask questions and ask for responses. You did what? And everybody in the family knows that tradition. Anybody else got one? Cutting the family Christmas tree, and they've done it for maybe how many generations? Bunches. She's holding up fingers like she thinks I can see them. Is she kidding me? If little Trina held up her finger, hold it. Look back there, see how many fingers she's got up, Trina. How many she got up? Cheryl, do it again. How many she got, Trina? Okay, she don't know either. Never mind. The lighting is bad in here. Let's just leave it at that. Bless your pea-picking heart. Many generations. Anybody else got a generational thing they did? Come on, now you got some. Don't hold out on me. Beth.
I have my grandmother, my mother, my sons, and my grandchild's
ornaments. So how many generations is that? Five generations of Christmas ornaments that will go up after after church. Oh, you're not going to decorate before Thanksgiving, huh? She's not going to answer that, okay. I just heard somebody over in this area go, no. Who decorates before Thanksgiving? Put your hands in the air and wave them like you care. Everybody online right now is going, what is happening? Hey, bud. Hey, Linda. Hey, anybody else that's watching? We're doing a little Q&A. Because traditionally, Wyatt, what's going on? Camera one. Oh, hey. Oh. Hey, bud. Thank you, guys. That was so sweet of you. You did not have to do that. Hey, bud. Hey, Linda. My sister, Linda. And anybody else that's watching. We love you. Okay. All right. Any other traditions? Things that you kind of go, oh. Okay, started with Gail.
At least three or four generations,
a happy birthday cake for Jesus. Aww, all together, one, two, three. Aww, that was sweet. Miss Beth, I saw your hand up again, did I? Or did I say Karen's? It was Karen's. Everybody be quiet, the baby's asleep. Granny's squash pie to please her husband. Wonder how many wives have been doing Never mind, to please their husbands. And how many husbands have been doing great things to please their wives? Okay, let's just do this right. Okay, any other family traditions? Oh, I'm patient. Remember, I started out in youth ministry. Usually the best stuff happened in the last 15 minutes of youth ministry. I often thought it was like being at a therapist. The good stuff comes in the last 15 minutes of a therapist. Am I right? Yeah, I thought so. I'm looking at an expert, so I kind of figured that's what goes on. Traditions. The stories we tell, the stories we live out are amazing. And Isaiah was all about us learning to hold on to the stories and the stories of an almighty God who was faithful from creation, even though we've been stinkers, right? Okay, not all of you personally, and certainly not Luke, but God has been a faithful God through all the centuries. See, that's what blows my mind. I have a hard time getting my grandson to wait 15 minutes for, you know, like a drink. Centuries of people waiting for a Messiah. Now, that's even kind of interesting because you and I have been waiting 2,000 years for the second coming of the Messiah. Am I right? Am I in the ballpark? So when you look at this time frame, I think God wants us to be consistent in our patience and always flowering in how we stay rooted in who we are, that we don't let the darkness come into our lives. That sweet little candle burning all by itself is a candle of hope. That sweet little candle is a candle of hope. Somebody look at somebody next to you and say, man, hope is great. Come on. I'm going to claim hope right now. I'm going to claim hope. I'm going to claim it in the name of Jesus. Because whether we stay here or whether we don't, we know what is next, and that's our hope. It's the hope of Jesus Christ, who holds us as long as we'll let him, who walks with us as long as we'll let him, and provides each other. Everybody in this room, some of you don't know each other. If you know everybody in this room, put your hand in the air. Ooh, that's good. But look around this room. Because we follow Jesus Christ. We're FOJs. My grandson came up with that, I think. We're FOJs, followers of Jesus. Then we have a connector that's as deep as any bloodline that you will ever have for us to hold on to each other. For us to claim the love of Jesus Christ and the hope of that which is eternal. Now, people always want to talk about eternal life. No, I guess they don't. Do you really? No, nobody wants to talk about eternal life because that means somebody's going to die, right? Okay, I'm old. I say stuff like that. No filters. But we don't necessarily want to talk about it because that means somebody's got to leave the picture, right? And yet, we know when they leave this picture, when they leave this space, do we trust where they are when they've left? Anybody here trust where they are? Anybody got a loved one that you know where they are right now? Anybody got somebody that's not doing real well right now? And I know full well, and God has prepared a place for them. Do I understand it? No. I don't. But I understand that God is a faithful God who through centuries of time has met God's people, held God's people, made the promises, fulfilled the promises, and continues to make promises. And you know how he does that? Look around the room. He does it through us, through each other. I love thinking about that. Every time I stand up here and get to see you all, I go, man, if you just even could see what I see, the amazingness in you. When Christ stood up and said, I think the one that really struck me was the brokenhearted. Who's had a heartache this year? Anybody had a heartache this year? Jesus promises to be faithful and be with the brokenhearted. Because sometimes that's where our hope slips away. Sometimes that's where our hope slips away. But I assure you that we absolutely do serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. We serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. And I would meet with you anytime to further that discussion. Because sometimes on a Sunday morning, I'll probably say something and she'll go, what did she just say? What did she just say? Sometimes you need to unpack it a little further. That's why God put us together, so that you're not alone. So that you're not alone. No matter where we are and what's going on, it may feel that way, but I assure you, you have but to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. I assure you of that. And if you ever need somebody to pray with you, I'm in. If you're up for praying for somebody, would you put your hand in the air? Okay. Because we're going to pray something really powerful right now. We're going to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. When Sue was singing a little bit ago, I felt an actual breeze. Now, y'all think maybe the furnace kicked on, but I got to tell you, I don't feel the furnace up here. I felt a movement of the Holy Spirit. And it happens all the time, all around us. Don't let the world tell you it doesn't, because it does. That's what us believing means. Holy God, in this moment, we are praying for healings. We are praying for healings that only you can do. Heal broken hearts. Meet the needs of those who suffer. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Sweet friends, we are waiting, and yet we're kind of sort of not. It's a strange place to be in the world, isn't it, as a Christian? Because we are in a strange location these days, it seems. And when we have we not been? But I got to tell you, I don't know that we've ever been in my living history, in my memory of my history. I don't remember when Christians have been so divided. So the prayer, my friends, is for the church. The prayer is for the church. Because this is where we gather to gather our strength. Through the beautiful music. Through the prayers. Through the beautiful readings. This is where we gather. I know you can meet Jesus on a lake. I do know that. But I know the power in this room right now is palpable. Somebody smile. That is how strong the hope in this room is. Because we wait. We wait every single day for God to put us in. Are we there yet? Do you feel like you're there yet? I don't know where your there is or what your there is. But God does. Have you talked to God about it lately? Because God will always be open to a thought process with you. He probably says to me, Marcia, if you talk a little less, I could get a word in edgewise. And he'd be right. It is an amazing thing to be part of a group of people who are so invested in the work of Jesus Christ. This last Thanksgiving Day, there were between 25 and 30 people in the fellowship hall of this building. For people, I don't know who they all were because I did not get here. My stomach said, no, you're not. But I am grateful to the leadership that put that together. You see, that's what church does. Church holds on and holds on to hope. And even when the world says, we're not gonna, then you crazy little church people show up and do it. And how God must have been smiling last Thursday. Don't you imagine? I think so too. Even though I wasn't here, it was covered in prayer. And I can't imagine what God must think. Church does this for you. Church opens you up to something that you wouldn't even necessarily consider. And yet God says, you can do it. Do it. And only by the power of the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit can you do it. I am grateful for that. I am grateful for the way in which God moves in this place. And if you think it doesn't, come talk to me sometime. My phone number's in the front door. Call me. I have a good friend and she says, Marcia's okay, but she prays too much. And they're probably right. So I want to close with a prayer. She said, that's all you've been doing is praying. Well, because it is. God, we are grateful to you for this place. It's in the name of Jesus that we ask that you would help us, guide us, hold us, point us. Tell us when they're there. Tell us when we need a new there. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, you will see that there's a response to the message. Now, I've asked that to be put in there because in a few weeks, we're going to have somebody else join the church. We're going to have another person join the church. And I think that's an exciting thing. And in our tradition, it was so great to visit with this person this last week and share some of my traditions and what I know of growing up in the church and what I learned and was taught by this church and by St. Paul's School of Theology about being a United Methodist. So I hadn't got to do that in a while, so I just talked their little leg off for an hour and 15 minutes. The stories we have are amazing. The stories we have are amazing. So each week there's going to be a response to the message. Now that's up to you what your response is. Ooh, but it's going to be good. I just know it. I am grateful for each one of you being here today, and I know God is. And every time we do this, we make Satan really mad, and we make God smile a lot. Yep, that's what I said. So turn to somebody and say, so glad you're here. So glad you're here. So glad you're here. Together with God's help, all things are possible. Together with God's help, all things are possible. I love that. So, now we're going to stand up. Because guess what we get to sing? Guess what we get to sing? No, you don't have to guess, because it's right there. Because guess what? We have an amazing story, so stand and let's sing it.